Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute after the hour, and we begin another week of independent, ferociously straightforward liberal broadcasting. It's another week on the horn, another week on America's liberal voice, another chance for you to participate in the rejuvenation, the restoration of the American dialogue, the American discussion, the great American debate here on America's front porch, the horn. Listener-supported and decidedly uncompromising. Yeah, it's Monday, and when last we spoke, which would be, I guess, Friday, yeah, I promised you a couple of giggles to get the week started, because I didn't get to the giggles, the tickers, at the end of Monday evening's, or Friday night's program. So, yeah, let's do that. Because I am sure by the time Friday rolls around, we will all be worn the hell out. And we will all be absolutely just awash in right-wing filth and slime and garbage. And you'll feel like if you took a shower for 2 days straight, you couldn't get all the right-wing grime off of not only your body, but your consciousness and your psychic being. Because that's who the right-wing are. That's what they do. They slime America. And they cover America with filth and grime and just icky stuff like something, some sort of an outtake from one of the Ghostbusters movies. But it's not like the Ghostbusters because you can't, like, reverse the polarity and turn the slime all nice. Repig lickens to sort of, take a turn with Gertrude Stein's words. A rose is a rose is a rose, and brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, these ain't roses. No, anytime you're dealing with the right wing, you're off on a hike through the abattoir and the cesspools, and because it's what they are. And we'll have some examples of that later in the program. But and frankly, our funsies are examples of that. But they're funsies that just, it's one of those where you don't have to go, you know, if they weren't so doggone dangerous, you'd just spend all your time laughing with them. Well, no, you got to do that too. But you're going to laugh more than you're going to cry. And those of you who are regulars to this program, and those of you who will become regulars to this program, will find out that one of my favorite right-wing groups is the religion industry front group, the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi. And their head huckster, the Reverend Donald Wildman. Well, they don't tell you right up front But you will get emails from them, and they won't tell you in the email either. They'll say, would you like a daily news feed source for news you can trust? Try One News Now. And it's all full of right-wing BS and the just general religion industry garbage. But they may have a little problem on their hands at One News Now. News for Jesus. News Jesus can use. They may have a little problem on their hands. For those of you who follow the intertubes closely, you'll know that the Associated Press has been on a rampage lately, attacking blog sites for quoting AP stories as the lead-in to a link to the AP story. Apparently, the AP has decided that fair use does not apply to them, and that thou shalt not quote from an AP story in terms... It used to be that the idea was that if you were going to post something on your blog, you'd post a little chunklet of it, but you wouldn't post the whole doggone article because that seemed kind of unfair and that was like lifting the article. Well, now the AP says you can't quote the little chunklet. And they're writing cease and desist letters and sending nasty grams hither and thither and yon throughout the blogosphere, telling people not to do that. That they have a proprietary interest in the content of their articles, which they do. It's their stuff. And that's why almost all the time, if I'm quoting from a story, I'll tell you where it came from, who the author was, credit where credit is due. And like I said, the American Family Association and One News Now may have a real problem on its hands because they've been editing not only Associated Press stories, but other wire service stories as well. Now, we won't have a live, fresh edition of Strictly Confidential with the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host, Peter Godbold, this evening. He is in internet hell again and is trying to find his way out. See, that's the bit. When you're in internet hell, it's usually not a hell of your own making or one that it's not a hell you get into because of your own transgressions. That's what makes it particularly unfair. But Peter's there, and Peter's trying to work his way out, so I'm gonna take it upon myself to share this story with you. The American Family Association and One News Now are virulently homophobic. I mean, just turned purple in the face with rage at the mere mention of a couple of guys picking out a China pattern or something like that. You know, monogram towels. Jesus! You know how it goes. In fact, it's not just the homophobia of the religion industry. It's a lot of other stuff, too. Among other things, let's see, the Southern Baptist Convention, a prominent Southern Baptist preacher has gotten all bent out of shape. Bruce Ware is the guy's name. He is a Southern Baptist, air quotes everyone, scholar, has come out and said from the pulpit of the Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, ladies, don't get mad at me, but there's an old joke out there, and it's kind of visual, but you can hear the sound effect, and you'll get the idea. It's a bad joke. It's not even a funny joke. And the joke goes like this. What's the problem with most abused women? And the answer is, they just don't know when to shut up. Well, apparently, that is now Southern Baptist doctrine. Because in the pulpit at the Denton Bible Church in Denton, Texas, Bruce Ware, Southern Baptist scholar, yeah, it's kind of like the way James Dobson's a doctor, has told the flock, the faithful, that the reason men abuse their wives is because women, Agnes, please don't, I mean, This is not my, I do not espouse this opinion. The opinions expressed by insane Southern Baptist so-called scholars are strictly their own and do not reflect the opinions or views of the Head On Radio Network. Okay? We clear? No. Bruce Ware says that, one of the reasons that men beat the snot out of their wives is because women rebel against their husband's God-given authority.
Respect my authority.
No, really. Bruce Ware said, and I quote, "And husbands on their parts, because they're sinners, now respond to that threat to their authority, either by being abusive, which is, of course, one of the ways men can respond when their authority is challenged, or more commonly, to become passive, acquiescent, and simply not asserting the leadership they ought to as men in their homes and churches." Hope, glory, hallelujah! You'll notice nowhere in there does he say anything about being abusive being wrong. "And husbands, on their parts, because they're sinners, now respond to that threat to their authority either by being abusive," dependent clause, "which is, of course, one of the ways men can respond when their authority is challenged." So, you know, the right-wing religion industry fundamentalists don't just hate gay folks. No, no, no. They've been hating women longer than they've been hating gay folks. That's what all the "we want to control your uterus" business is about. But they, you know, they despise women. It's understandable when Leroy decides to slap the snot out of Velma because she's not properly submitting to his authority. I don't even want to think about what passes for authority in a Southern Baptist household. I'm sure it's kinky and something that would absolutely turn me probably require therapy. No, it's not. But the American Family Association does this gig where this scheme where they take copyrighted material and edit it on their website, okay? Our buddy Mora sent this along, and it just absolutely devastated and destroyed me. And it probably will you, too, if you haven't seen it already. It's the problem with working with the internets. You guys have probably seen everything, but you know. They edit the American Family Association, which runs One News Now, but doesn't have the guts to say so on the webpage or admit it, because the American Family Association is, after all, a 501c3 religious organization, which is not supposed to do any overt politicking, but there's overt politicking all over One News Now. So the American Family Association takes these news stories, and I guess they just copy them into their word processor or something, and they do a global search and replace on every story, and if the story has the word gay in it, they replace it with the word homosexual. No, really. Homosexual. So that if it's a gay, you know, gay activist John Smith said today, well, by the time it hits the website at One News Now, it's been turned into homosexual activist John Smith said today. You get it? And they do that with all the stories. And apparently they let the computer's fingers do the walking through the pages, and they don't have any, you know, real editors. And because they've let the computers do the work for them, because after all the computers have considerably faster, more capacious brains than any fundamentalist out there, well... they've libeled the guy. I'm looking at a photograph right now of a very handsome young African-American man in track togs who is apparently a sprinter, I believe. Yeah, he's a sprinter. And he recently won the U.S. Olympic track and field trials. And the photograph I'm looking at shows him kneeling on one knee on the track, smiling with all the pride that to which he is entitled, holding spread behind him an American flag with the finger, with his index finger up, you know, number one. You couldn't ask for a more patriotic, inspiring image. There's only one problem. This particular young man's name is Tyson Gay. And in publishing this story on their website, they have since scrubbed it, but in the internet, everything is forever, and everything can be found. It was up for hours and hours and hours and hours, part of yesterday and today as well. In bogarting the Associated Press story about Tyson Gay's victory at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials, the American Family Association renamed him. And it reads like this. Quote, Tyson homosexual easily won his semifinal. I knew I couldn't get through it. Tyson homosexual easily won. See what you did to me, Moore? Tyson homosexual easily won his semifinal for the 100 meters at the U.S. Olympic track and field trials and seemed to save something for the final later Sunday. Then there's the headline, of course. Homosexual eases into 100 final at Olympic events. On Saturday, homosexual misjudged the finish in his opening heat and had to scramble to finish fourth. Then, in his quarterfinal, a couple of hours later, ran a 9.77 to break the American record that had stood since 1999. Asked how he felt, homosexual said, a little fatigued. It took the American Family Association and One News Now until about 10:06 a.m. Eastern Time this morning to stop referring to the young man as Tyson homosexual. A lot of you are just awful in the chat room. Bob, kind of makes you glad the Supreme Court ruled the way they did on guns. What's the sense in me being here when you guys are faster on the draw than I am? Well, at least it wasn't the broad jumping contest. Homosexual wins broad jump. Whew. I tell you, I hope Tyson Gay sues these rotten, libelous, perverted, homophobic, bigoted, prejudiced, antediluvian, 16th century, no, 12th, no, 8th century dinosaurs right out of existence. I sincerely hope he does. Because nobody ever deserved it more than the people Donald Wildman and his children. You know, it's one of those things where they pass it on from the father to the son in an attempt to keep the money hustle, the little three-card Monty game that they've got going with people who don't know better, to keep it extending into the future. Lord, wouldn't that be good? So there's our first giggle, and I hope you got one out of it. I mean, for my money, you can't beat this. This may be actually because I'm struggling to keep it together. This may be one of the funniest stories to come out of the right wing in a long time. This is actually funnier than what I thought to begin with was some sort of a Snopes thing late last week. I mean, I saw it over at WD40.com. And I immediately went to Snopes and checked it out, and I left a comment for Clyde and Wally and Dookie and the guys at WD40.com to that effect. I thought maybe they had one, you know, they'd had the one pulled on them finally, because those guys have radar, like, you know, they don't get stuff wrong, WD40.com. But no, it was real. Headline, Senators Craig and Vitter team up to co-sponsor marriage protection amendment. That's right. Larry Craig and Senator David Vitter, Senator Larry Craig and Senator David Vitter, one guy who has a wide stance toe-tapping in the men's bathrooms, Senator Craig, and Senator David Vitter, who has been said by his madams, you know, the women that he pays for sex, to have a real predilection for being diapered and called a bad, nasty boy. Well, they're co-sponsoring the new marriage protection amendment to the United States Constitution. No, it's not a joke. They have named themselves as co-sponsors of SJ Res 43, the Marriage Protection Amendment. Yeah, they have. They really, really have. And that takes some kind of nerve. I mean, that takes the kind that you have to push around solid brass in a big old wheelbarrow. I mean, that's just stunning. They are, in fact, defenders of marriage. And they defend their marriage. Senator Craig, on the one hand, he defends his marriage by soliciting anonymous oral sex in airport bathrooms, while Senator Vitter defends marriage by visiting houses of ill repute and seeking to let out his kinks that his wife won't tolerate. And those are some first-class, I mean, A-number-one kinks, at least according to the madams that he's visited. And, of course, the right-wingers will forgive all. Because, after, you know, as long as you're doing the bowing and the cowing and the scraping, they don't care what kind of hypocrite you are, because, after all, being right-wing members of the fundamentalist religion industry, they're hypocrites, too. And our buddy Dennis sent along a link to a guy that I'd never seen before. A guy from, I found this on YouTube, or Dennis found it and sent it along to me. And this just seems to fit so well, we'll take a little interlude for it.
And you know, if you're two consenting adults, and which of us isn't? It's nobody's business who you love, right? Nobody's business who you love, where you love, what equipment you might use. It's interesting, but it's nobody's business. Actually, the equipment is somebody's business. And yet the traditional values people are all upset over homosexuality in the workplace and the movies and the Boy Scouts. And they should just realize that homosexuality in the Boy Scouts is a tradition. Get behind it. Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, to people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? Unnatural. Now a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married. Every time we think about same-sex parents, Oh, my gosh, we exclaimed. I mean, to people who want to provide a protective and nurturing family environment, have they no shame? So deviant. It's the Lord's holy word, as my second wife said to my third. That a family's based on obligation and fear. We're defenders of marriage, connubial narcs, ever vigilant and patriotic, patriarchs. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married. One summer evening when my woman was doing laundry, I shared a six-pack with an old John Bircher. And oh, so wisely, he imparted an ancient quandary to ponder. He said, it's nature versus legislature. Are people born gay, or do they turn gay just to piss off Dick Army? We're an army of dicks with a militant stance. Let's get the government out of our lives and into our pants. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married and have their insurance carried and be beneficiaried and be next to the ones they love when they are buried.
And that is a gentleman by the name of Roy Zimmerman. And he is a top-notch, top-flight, first chair pro. The guy is as funny with a guitar as anybody that I've recently heard. It's simple. Go to YouTube, look up Roy Zimmerman, and just sit there and chortle for a while, recognizing that it is possible. Oh, it is possible to laugh at these stupid bigots. All the while that we're gay and straight alike working to drive them into the closet. I mean, they've already got all the hang-ups. Why not put the religion industry in the closet to begin with? I mean, they're halfway in it anyway, because, you know, they bring their piety out on Sunday, but then they live their... But you know the drill. So that's... You got to wonder if the American Family Association is against Tyson Gay being able to marry, or if he's already married, and if they oppose that one as an assault on their marriages. You don't know. You just don't know. Homosexual misjudged the finish in his opening heat and had to scramble. Asked how he felt, homosexual said, a little fatigued. This was broken by page one Q, by the way. See how we credit people? And Cindy Roberts of the American Family Association said she'd take a look at the news post. And then they followed up trying to find out why One News Now, the ownership of it by the American Family Association, isn't disclosed on the site. That call hasn't been returned. The Associated Press, well, we'll just have to wait to see if they use the same level of hissy on a gang of right-wing thugs as they do on a liberal or, you know, centrist blog, as they have been doing. So many thanks to Maura for sending that along, because that's one for the ages. That really is. And with any luck at all, it'll... Please, Tyson Gay, sue them. Get lots of mean, nasty plaintiff's lawyers and just torment them. You know, Donald Wildman is fairly old. You could probably torment him all the way into his well-deserved reward. And I don't think there will be any pearly gates involved with that. More likely a barbecue spit. Yeah. And not in heaven. No. Just turning and turning. Baste him again, little demons. Baste him again. Don't want him getting dried out there all the time. We're going to have barbecued Wildmon for all eternity. Yeah. So we'll continue with the funnies, because after all, Mississippi is just my beloved South. How it galls me to see my beloved South used and abused by the religion industry and the right wing like it is. Mississippi's just to the west of my home state of Alabama. And my home state of Alabama is, of course, the home of one Attorney General Troy King. If you see a picture of Troy King, you'll notice he has these sort of, he's got that sort of 50-yard stare, these beady little eyes that just say, you know, I hate everything. Guy's real, real hung up. And Troy King's history. He, of course, went to law school at the University of Alabama, known fondly to its graduates as the Capstone. And he used to spend his time there while he was at the University of Alabama School of Law, writing hateful screeds to be published in the newspaper, the University of Alabama newspaper called The Crimson White. For instance, when he was a law student, he wrote this. The time has come for the majority to rise from its figurative slumber. The picture on the front page of Monday's issue of the Crimson White looked like the front page of Sodom and Gomorrah news the day before those cities were destroyed. I and a majority of the students were appalled, not that these students would pose for this picture, for we have seen that the homosexuals in America will do anything to grab a headline, but rather I am furious that this paper would sacrifice its journalistic integrity for a tabloid-esque reporting. It is indeed sad that America has fallen to the point where she will condone any type of deviant, immoral activity in which a group desires to participate. However, perhaps even more compelling evidence of the perversion of America is evidenced not only by the evidence, same word twice in one sentence, Jesus, they taught me not to do that in ninth grade journalism, come on, Troy, is evidenced not only by the fact that this story was published in the newspaper, but rather that it was graphically depicted on the front page. The existence of the Gay Lesbian Alliance on this here campus is an affront to the state of Alabama, its citizenry, this diversity, and its students. However, it is also an outrage to compel those students with both moral and religious objections to the activities and ideas espoused by this organization to contribute money via student fees to subsidize these activities. One has but to look at the forces which the controversy has united, from the American Civil Liberties Union to the National Organization of Women to the Queer Nation, just to name a few, to clearly see how corrupt a cause this truly is. The argument can often be heard that what goes on in the bedroom is private. However, it is flawed reasoning to attempt to justify the gay movement in America today on this basis. For they have taken sex from the confines of the bedroom into the streets, the evening news, and now even the front page of the newspaper. One wonders how he feels about Senator Craig taking the gay agenda into men's rooms in Minneapolis, but, well, the Attorney General King couldn't know. So this guy's a real, live, honest-to-God sicko, Troy King. And so he's declared it his intention in Alabama to enforce the sex toy ban that the legislature put in place a few years ago. He has said, Troy King, that if you have a sex toy, that he will bust you for it. No, really. What a twisted, twisted little man he is. And there's a whole history. This particular blog post comes from Reality Catcher. Reality Catcher hyphen Ala Poet, A-L-A-P-O-E-T, Reality Catcher hyphen Ala Poet .blogspot.com. And it's just got links all over the place, including links to some remarks and a plan by someone who was on the show, a couple of years back? Loretta Nall, N-A-L-L. Some of you may remember our conversation with Loretta. She was just absolutely priceless. She has started a movement to send sex toys to Troy King. Hopefully he's up to his chin in them by now. Try not to get too graphic here. But Troy King is the phrase used in the blog post here is hateful punk. And the writer notes, with all the real crime that takes place in Alabama, including a whole passel of shady dealings in politics, corruption, and graft, much of it involving King himself, Troy's more concerned that the women folks might let their lustful urges get out of control once they learn that men and orgasms don't always have to be in the same room. And I offer to you the previous thing from Think Progress about the Denton Bible Church pastor, Southern Baptist scholar Bruce Weah, who has declared that, of course, men beat their women. They beat their women because their women don't submit to the proper authority of their husbands as dictated by God. Yeah. And what's better? Here's the best part about Troy King. Troy King has an ego so big he fancies himself a singer. And he fancies himself such a singer that he took an unreleased recording of a vocal by the late, great John Cash, a song called My Elusive Dreams. The song was previously recorded by Tammy Wynette and David Houston. That's Tammy Wynette and David Houston. And Attorney General and really, really guaranteed, honest to God, no kidding, straight guy, Troy King, had to change the lyrics to make it what he called a ballad of brotherhood and friendship. Now listen to this lyric and what he inserts himself into a duet with John Cash. Ouch! Poor John, rolling in the dirt somewhere, about 6 feet down. And probably about a foot and a half over, John, calm down, John. John, don't get up out of the dirt and go strangle Troy. John! Yeah, it's only a few seconds of this, but it'll be enough to put you off supper. Check it out.
I followed you to Alabama. Things look good in Birmingham. We didn't find it there, so we moved on. I know you're tired of following my illusion.
Sieve dreams. Dr. Freud, courtesy phone. Dr. Freud, courtesy phone. Latency emergency. Dr. Freud, latency emergency. Please see Attorney General Troy King. See, Troy King was also involved in the really sleazy, vindictive bit of garbage that was done against, the slimy that was done on former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman. Yeah, he had his hand in that, too. That's, yeah, Troy King. So, yeah, you get the idea. But that's right. Troy King is going to enforce the sex toy ban in Alabama. But if you think about it, it may not be a misogynistic impulse to try to keep women sexually where they daggum well belong. This may actually be something that Troy King is doing for his own people. This may be a form of intervention by Alabama Attorney General Troy King. He may actually be trying to save a life. Because after all, we all remember the story. The story of the preacher from Montgomery. Yeah, I'll use any excuse to play this song, and you know that. You should have seen this coming from a mile away. Come on. Is John Fox good or what?
I am a good Christian. Got a good congregation. My wife's on vacation. And the kids are all grown. I've got me some swimsuits. Rubber's my desire. Got a head mask of latex that makes me just moan. Send me a dildo. I can't buy one in Montgomery. Send me a sex toy, but the deacons can't know. Just give me one ear hole that I can breathe in through. Untie me with bungees and fix them just so.
John Fox, you are a genius. And that song, of course, is all about Southern Baptist minister Gary Aldridge. Gary Aldridge, of course, was a great, great good pal of Jerry Falwell. And he was found dead in his home, all by his lonesome, back in June of last year, after suffering what was termed by the coroner accidental mechanical asphyxia. That's fancy medical lingo for the fact that he was found hogtied, wearing two complete wetsuits, a face mask, diving gloves and slippers, rubber underwear, a head mask, and a dildo with a condom on it in his tuchus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a campaign underway, if you would like to participate, and I can't think of a better campaign in which to participate. And that is the campaign that is being headed, for want of a better term, by Loretta Knoll to make sure that Troy King has the sex toys that he needs. If you'd like to send Troy King a sex toy, his address is Troy King, Office of the Attorney General, Alabama State House, 11 South Union Street, 3rd floor, Montgomery, that's Montgomery, Montgomery, Alabama, 36130. Sooner or later, he has to open an envelope that has one on it, and if there's any justice at all, the Alabama Bureau of Investigation will be waiting for him then and there and bust him for possession. Oh, a delight. Yeah, Troy King, Office of the Attorney General, Alabama State House, 11 South Union Street, 3rd floor, Montgomery, Alabama, 36130. Because he needs the help, Troy King does. We'll run straight to the phones here in just a second, but a couple of emails rolling in. Kate wants to know, does this all mean that they're trying to take the dildo out of the bedroom? Only in Alabama, or is this universal? Oh, dear, that rocks. He doesn't even have to be in the room anymore. Kate, you're not helping again. Oh, when dildos are outlawed, only outlaws will have dildos. I mean, if it works for the NRA, it can work. You get the idea. Yeah, I will send that along to anybody who wants it. It was available on the website, and maybe someday it will be again after we're fully recovered from the crash. But anybody that wants a copy of that song, shoot me an email at bob@headonradio.com, and I will provide it to you just as soon as I can. It's based, by the way, on the great, great tune by the great, great John Prine, Angel from Montgomery, and our sincere apologies to John Prine. But I was going down the road, I just read the story, and it just right inside my brain, and it happened in a matter of a couple of hours. John got on it like a duck on a June bug, and the lyric was there, and boom, it just happened. And it's so fun when that kind of creative just process just body slams you. You can't run away from it. And let's see. To the phones we go. All right, who have I got?
Hey, Bob, it's Albert.
Hey, Albert, how are you?
Pretty good. That's a pea, honey. I did it in the garden. Eat it. Where'd that come from? Anyway, it's funny you speak of Loretta Mal. It's such a small world. She's an old internet buddy of mine.
Oh, really?
I've been friends with her since before she got raided by the Alabama DEA crap.
Oh, she's been raided. She's been strip searched at the prison. She's been prevented from visiting her brother because she wasn't wearing the proper undergear. Yeah.
She's a brave girl, a brave woman, I should say.
Yeah, I don't agree with her on every last topic that she espouses, but I'd say probably 90 to 95% I do. Absolutely.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. I just, yeah.
And I certainly agree with her on the need to sell or send certain apparati to the Attorney General of Alabama.
And, you know, she certainly, is that good? Okay, now she'd certainly be a better choice than anything Alabama's had for a very long time. So, yeah, you got to kind of have to, one day maybe. But I told her to move to a different state, and I'm sure she'd get a lot more action. But I can't believe how far she's come. She's national news kind of thing sometimes, and blows my mind. So where are we, Bob? Where are we, bud?
You know, I'm just trying to have a little fun. I worry about being too much of a downer. I worry about the psychic filth that we have to march through all the time, Albert. And I just thought, you know, if nothing else, the first hour of Monday's program would be more than suitable for just having a giggle or two. Especially when it's at fundamentalists' expense.
Yeah, I don't understand. So aren't some of the oldest archaeological artifacts we've ever found, like stone dildos? Something like that.
Yeah, and I think the Egyptians invented the first condom, made it out of sheepskin, or sheep innards or something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I don't understand. That's because
they were heathens, Albert. They was heathens, and they didn't know about the saving grace.
Yeah. See, this is the thing, you know, if they were so righteous and they were so correct, they wouldn't need to forbid anything. Because, well,
they'd know.
They want people to. I mean, you know, speaking of funny, I mean, the guy died tragically. Wasn't the guy in like two
full diving suits and rubber undies
and a snorkel and a what a world.
Yeah, and it wasn't and hogtied. Can you imagine Mrs. Pastor Aldridge walking in, honey, I'm hot. Honey, you're dead.
That's an irony and a half, I think. It's one of those things, you know, these people that, hey, good news.
You know, but one of these days, Flush Flimball is going to keel over dead down in the Dominican Republic, right smack dab in the middle of a tryst with some little underage Dominican boy, and, you know, it's one of those, it's one of those karmic things. It's like that, what's the movie? V for Vendetta. You know, where every time V takes down one of the baddies, the state-controlled media has to come on and he died heroically in his sleep. You know,
if that wasn't the British Rush Limbaugh, I don't know what was, you know, in Vendetta, whatever that character's name.
Well, that's exactly what he was. He was I don't know, since he was on TV, maybe he was the British O'Reilly.
We'll do it live!
Yeah, we'll do it live! We'll do it live!
He's another one, eh?
With falafel!
I'm sure you've read all of that. If anybody has missed the Macris incident, go to thesmokinggun.com and read the files.
Yeah, see, O'Reilly someday will choke to death on a piece of falafel, and that will be the universe, the chaotic self-correcting universe taking care of matters for him.
There you go. It's the big fractal coming right back into itself.
Yeah. Bing!
See, there is justice. There is justice.
I'm just scared to death. I'm just scared to death of what the universe is going to do to me.
Well, Bob, just ask for some forgiveness, and you'll be good. Just remember, what you put out is what you get back. So that's, and I think the you shouldn't be too afraid. I mean, everybody's got a skeleton or two in the closet, but at the same time.
This is going to be something more prosaic. It's going to be, you know, me reaching into the refrigerator with my hand on the block of Velveeta, and then the universe is going to go, "We tried to tell you. No second warnings."
How many warnings do you need? Oh, yeah. Well, that's
just a little Rotel. I promise I won't eat the whole bowl this time.
Bob, if you're going to go out with something better than Velveeta, though, please.
But it melts better than anything else in the world because it's made of petroleum distillates.
I'm just going to going to say it's because it's made out of crude oil.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the box there, you know, pasteurized processed cheese food spread product. They can't even call it cheese.
You know,
but you know, lately since I'm having to cut the acid in my decaffeinated coffee with skim milk, I think that needs a label on it too, because they shouldn't be able to sell that stuff as milk either. That ought to be pasteurized processed milk-like product or pasteurized processed lactose product.
Bovine water. That's it.
Oh, I miss my half and half so badly.
Yeah, well, I wish, we get the stuff in the glass bottles. I wish I could.
Yeah, rub it in. I know. Yeah, you get the.
No. I'm just saying. I wish I could help you out. I'd love to be able to.
Well, no, I can't have it. You know, I mean, the minute I put my hand on the half and half carton, you know, the universe goes, "We tried." And something inside me goes, and it's over.
Yeah, we don't want that. We can't have that.
I don't want that.
No, back to
I'm not laughing. I mean, I'm scared. I'm terrified of all fats now. I mean, I'm completely traumatized. I mean, I was a label reader before. Now I'm like an obsessive compulsive label. What? 1.5 grams of fat per serve? I can't have that.
Yeah, that's brutal. That is just brutal. Yeah, I don't. Are you ever going to come out of that, or is it for the rest of your life?
No, I don't know, Albert. If I get the all clear in 6 months, that does not mean I'm going to come home and melt the Velveeta.
True. Well, that's what I try to tell you. There are healthy fats out there. Grapeseed oil. Fry your food in grapeseed oil. It's actually better than olive oil, and it has a higher. It doesn't burn as quick, so it, you know.
Well, I didn't know you could cook with this stuff. I took capsules of it for years, just for, you know, general principle. Flaxseed oil, grapeseed oil.
Seed oil.
Evening primrose oil I've taken. But apparently I just processed the stuff. I've, you know, too much gravy and biscuits for too long, and, you know, sitting here behind the desk for 18 hours a day mainlining jars of Tostitos queso dip. Yeah, and stuff's over.
It's just a weakness, ain't it? I gotta stop doing that then, because I do like a spicy cheese sauce.
Oh yeah. And then I think about all the wrong fats that are in my favorite Thai curry dishes. You know, with the coconut milk and the curry that comes in the little tuna sized cans. You know, and it makes the little sweat break out at your hairline and just begin running free. Have you seen War Inc. yet?
Yes, I have. Excellent movie.
Okay, you know the scenes where he's doing, no spoilers here, but the scenes where he's doing the full shots of Tabasco sauce?
Yes.
And you see, the trick is that I have trained myself never to let my eyes water. I'm trying so hard, and I'm being ignored so much. I want to get John Cusack on this program to talk about that, because that, you know what that is? And I know this isn't as heavy as what we usually get into, Albert, but you know what War Inc. is? It does for Iraq what Dr. Strangelove did for the Cold War.
Certainly.
And
we've had some fantastic films that are just spearing. Actually,
does Dan Aykroyd, in the little bit of time that he's on the screen, does Dan Aykroyd just channel Dick Cheney perfectly?
Yes. I gained a lot of respect for a lot of actors that I didn't have as much respect for. And Cusack is definitely one of them. Who's that other? Yeah. Well, you always kind of have to respect Dan Aykroyd. But even more so now. You know me. I have a weakness for crabby old men. And just from Grandpa and stuff like that. So it just, you know, if you're a crabby old man like George Carlin or my grandpa, then I just kind of, I can't help it, but I gotta like you.
Yeah, you identify and you gravitate, and sure. Yeah, for those who haven't seen War Inc. yet, it's a see it. And it's gotten a huge internet following, too.
Oh, that's the beauty of it. Go watch Idiocracy, same thing. Go Rent. If you haven't seen these movies, go Rent Idiocracy, War Incorporated, and The Onion Movie.
I'm hearing some fabulous things about The Onion Movie.
It's got its moments, and I know people get all, oh, this is just a cheap version of Kentucky Fried Movie. You remember that movie back in the day.
Yeah, I do. But if the guys from The Onion and ladies, if the team from the Onion is involved, I'm warranting that it's probably a little bit better than the Kentucky Fried movie. And I remember it very well.
I thought so. I thought it was more poignant and more more topical, and like they just literally and you know, it's really nice that they still the Onion. This is the Onion movie, but you can go online and like everyone, like when there's big news that comes out, they come out and skewer it, and it's just like a news.
Onion Television is genius, and this, yes. and more than just providing fodder for us to sit here and for, you know, liberals to have a giggle or whatever. It's important in its own right because it affords us the opportunity to see that to step back from the deadly serious earnestness and realize that these, you know, I think we've discussed it. This is straight out of the theory behind the name of the rose, that laughter is dangerous. Laughter can diffuse seriousness of these murderous monsters as easily as reasoned argument in some instances. That's why I think if every time that, you know, if we could ditch a little bit of the decorum in the Senate and the House, and every time one of these weirdo right wingers stands up, that all of the Democrats would just start pointing and laughing.
Well, I don't know what
especially, you know, the women.
But Bob, let's be straight now. I mean, I hate to be a bummer, but a lot of these Democrats need to go get the old keel haul.
Okay, yeah. Well, believe me, that was going through my mind even as I was saying it. But yeah, I agree. Hey, you mentioned some Onion. You want a little funny Onion for a minute?
Certainly.
Okay. This is their spoof of TV morning shows.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, here it comes. There's a couple of visual references, but we'll get past it.
Just around the corner, in fact, which can be a very difficult day for the millions of us who just couldn't care less.
Well, joining us to help us make it through election 2008 is today now political correspondent Dan Carlisle.
Dan, good to see you again, buddy. How you doing?
We're doing well, thank
you. You've got to help us out here, my friend, because all those informed people with their judgmental looks come election day, I mean, I just don't think I can spend another year dealing with that. Can you help?
Absolutely. Luckily, it's actually pretty simple to pretend you care about the electoral process.
Really?
Try something like this. Invite some friends over for dinner. Mm-hmm. Have the news on when they show up. Then apologize as you turn off the TV and say, I promise I won't talk about politics tonight.
Okay. I like that. Very all direct, right. Yet very simple. Mm-hmm. But what if they ask you, you know, are you a
Democrat?
Democrat or the other one?
Right. Mm-hmm. Don't panic. Just use one of these political non-opinions I brought.
Okay. Oh, I see.
All right.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Seems easy enough.
Yeah.
It's very easy.
Yeah.
Here's another simple thing to do. Talk about how sad it is that some people refuse to get involved in politics.
Right.
Blaming others for being uninformed is always a great way of seeming informed yourself.
Yeah, no, I like that. But what if they corner you on one of these like political issues, like, well, health care?
Oh, hold on, my phone's vibrating.
Oh, okay, well.
I apologize.
Hey.
Okay, and I've got you. See what happened there? That's a phone fake-out.
It
wasn't really vibrating.
Oh.
Use that to get out of a political question that's just too difficult to answer.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, that's great for these coming weeks, but Dan, what about Election Day?
First step, go to our website. All right, yeah. We have a great tool there which allows you to print out an I voted sticker. So during work, you go act like you voted, you come back, you wear the sticker.
Right, and questions don't need to be asked anymore because you're right up front with it.
It says right there, it says I voted. Be sure you come back, though, with a poll anecdote.
Yeah. What's a poll anecdote?
It's a story or observation that you come back after you're done fake voting. You wouldn't believe it, they had my last name misspelled at the polling station.
Ah,
something like that. Okay. You see how that was specific, but not so specific that someone could check it out?
Right, right.
So I ended up in line right behind my old college roommate works. The roof caved in doesn't.
But what if despite all that, they still just don't believe that you went to the polls that day?
You got to up the ante again, Jim.
Yeah.
Here, scrawl a quick child's drawing on a piece of paper, something like this here. You can use marker, crayon, or craypaw, nothing too sophisticated. Then, say to your voting friend, I pulled this off the wall at the elementary school. I couldn't resist it.
It
was just so cute.
Oh, that is, you did this yourself?
Yes, I made this one.
Well, now, after all you've told us, there is no excuse to not vote.
Yes, absolutely. Every single person out there can take part in pretending to take part in the political process.
Dan, we
got
to have you back in November, because we will not know what to say about who won.
Yeah, I'll be here.
I'm not
going
to say a word till I talk to you.
That's smart.
All right.
How could you possibly tell the difference, Albert, between that and so-called real?
Exactly. It's brilliant. That's what's so brilliant about it. That's probably about the third or fourth time I've actually watched that particular one or heard it. And I was just reflecting on back in the 90s and back in those days when I really first started, you know, coming of age and seeing the world as an adult. And I never really liked those shows ever. I never watched them, but that was during that period of time because that's when I started to loathe them and hate them for their phony, fake absurdity. And now, I don't think The Onion would ever survive back in those days. But now we sit here and we look at it, and it's like The Daily Show it's The Daily Show, but even better. You know, The Daily Show broke the ice, and now it's the full absurdity is in view. And I don't even understand how those actors can do that without laughing.
It's got to be six or seven takes.
It's unbelievable. They're perfect. That's exactly the way that these frauds are. And Katie Kirk gets these and that's who she is. All these media people are. That's what they are. Democrats, yeah.
And whatever the other ones are called.
Yeah. What? Whoa. That's like the mentality that the people that are on the real news, the really real news, that's the kind of mentality they project. And, you know, they get paid, $5 million a year to project that image and then to have other people,
project the image that it's okay to be uninformed.
Stupid. Exactly.
And it's okay to pay attention to pay attention to fluff instead of substance. Oh,
yep.
I heard that Barack Obama, I heard that he likes to eat foreign food. Yeah. Oh, email rolling in. The Onion is aptly named because it has layers and layers. And getting some dietary advice here, Albert. I have the answer, says William. Just find a vivid and large full-color photo of a chunk of head cheese and paste that on the fridge door and on the kitchen door, and Bob, your problems are over. head cheese.
Scratch and sniff head cheese. I worked in a deli. I had to cut that stuff. God.
You cut the head cheese?
No. Yeah, I don't like.
I'll be here all week. Try the veal.
rendering flesh into slices will certainly adjust your.
Well, it's just like working at Hershey. They tell you the first day, eat all the chocolate you want, and after day two, nobody's eating chocolate.
Yeah, no doubt. Well,
I knew a girl in college who on one summer vacation worked at the local potato chip plant. And she couldn't get within 100 feet of a bag of barbecued potato chips because she just sat there day after day pulling a lever and dumping a cloud of barbecue dust onto potato chips. I mean, the mere mention of barbecued potato chips would drive her into paroxysms of nausea and rage.
I can relate. I can certainly relate. Yeah, and that's just one of those beauties of. Saturating somebody with something.
Now turning this to just a little bit more serious, Albert, isn't that what's going on in general terms? Aren't the American people saturated with political garbage? I heard he's a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And his mother was an atheist. How can I ever vote for that?
Well, the new one, if you haven't been keeping up on
the birth certificate.
No, that's last week.
That's so last week. Okay. Oh, yeah, God. So what's next? Week.
Now, and of course, now that it's been a week or two, and, you know, we've pretty much collapsed any ideas that they were trying to, you know, even the people in Hawaii said, no, this is an actual document. This is the actual document. And we can't confirm if it's really his because you're not family, so we can't, you know, really do anything like that in terms of privacy, you know, but if this is the document, stop trying to pretend like he created a forgery and all this other crap. Anyway, but now that a week has gone by, now it's established fact for that. I mean, the people that, you know, really go and, but honestly, I could just say that the volume or the, I could say the receptions, and there are certainly always going to be people like, you know, they like to preface it by saying, well, I don't like John McCain, but that Barack Obama is, you know, he's a socialist. That's the new one. That's going to be the new meme for the next few weeks, is he's an undeniable socialist. And
oh, I've got another one for you. I've got audio to go with it later, so yeah, there's a, yeah. And it's
listening.
And it's one thing after another, Albert, because this is a full-on machine. And while I said early on, you know, look out if Hillary is the nominee because they've got a machine that's been banging on all eight cylinders for 16 years, they did a pretty good job of retooling the machine. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, there's a new slur, a new libel, and a new smear every week.
That's just, you know, but this is the thing, Bob, this is where we're at, though. This is what I'm saying, like, you know, that stuff flew in 1999. That stuff flew in 2000 and even 2004 when, you know, the illusions appeared solid. But, you know, the illusions are crumbling all around us. I mean, we're at right now $140 oil. We're sitting here and we're still only paying $4 a gallon. $3.99. That's the mental area where they won't, you know, they won't cross into that because that's going to just turn people upset. And you remember the last election we had? You remember we talked about this? What happened to the gas prices during the last election? They went boop 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 boop. You see, and it's just these little pressures that, you know, I don't care. Call me whatever you want. There ain't no way you can ever convince me otherwise. And don't try to tell me about no market forces. Don't try and tell me that they didn't intentionally lower the gas prices for 2 days before the election, and then as soon as the election was over, boop, they went right back up to where they were right before, you know, when everyone was so outraged that it was $3.20, and, you know, now we're looking at $4. Now we're paying $140 a barrel. What was the other one? Here's an interesting, I know we're going to get depressing, but I think the first hour's over. We sit there and look at this oil that Saudi Arabia is going to put out, the other 100,000 barrels a day, the big woo. You know, that's not even sweet crude anymore. Now it's sour.
It's that stuff that they have to work twice as hard to turn into gasoline. Sure.
And they
put out a press release today, the OPEC did, saying, hey, look, it's not our fault. Gas ain't coming down.
No, it's not their fault because... And it's not.
And I'm the last guy in the world to defend the Saudis, okay? I mean, I'm just not that guy.
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is, I think there's at least an undercurrent, Albert, of understanding and knowledge that this is a dummied up, ginned up, faked up, rubed up market.
No doubt. It is. But it's also, this is the whole aspect that I rarely ever hear it talked about. You know, and the only time I've ever heard it talked about is that it was an oil company propaganda about peak oil. But, you know, there's only so many rocks on the earth. You know, it doesn't matter however you slice it, there's only so many, there's only so much matter on this globe, okay, on this earth. And if you use them and burn them and suck them dry, there won't be any left. It's like, you know.
You're not making any more.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and I don't even care. You could talk about abiotic theory, what have you, regardless. If it took, you know, the world billions and billions of years to produce this oil abiotically, then, and we use it all up in a period of 150 years, well, see, this is the thing. This is why these speculators, they keep talking about speculators. They keep talking about all this crap. You see, the speculators, man, I told you about it. You know, I worked on Wall Street. They're not dumb. They know about peak oil. They realize it's not, they're not stupid. They realize that there's only so much out there. Not all of them, but the guys that know and the guys that, you know, have enough money to know better certainly do. You know, there are dummies out there that are even short selling right now and they're getting hosed. However, the fact is this is the thing that we don't keep, you know, that nobody's talking about. I don't hear it on public radio. I don't hear it on this radio station or that radio station whenever I can. And if I do hear people talking about it, I can't help. I have to call up and I have to say, listen, this is a limited resource. There's only going to be so much of it, and we're running out. We've been using it, you know.
Well, that's why, Albert, if offshore drilling in Florida and California, but not Alaska,
yeah,
and drilling in Anwar and so forth, even if they were telling the truth about it, which they aren't, it's still a bad idea because it uses a resource that is becoming more and more finite. The answer is to develop the technologies we need to get away from it. You know, Matt Rothschild from The Progressive had a commentary, two, 3 weeks ago, talking about the Canadian guy who had stopped through on his way driving across the North American continent in his solar-powered automobile. He said most people stop at the gas station when they're out of fuel. We just pull over and sit in the sun.
Mm-hmm. See, now that's part of it. I mean, if you actually you had better eyes for this situation when it happened. But during the last oil crisis and in the early 80s, I was still a kid, but I still remember it, and I still remember the alternatives from those days. I remember hearing about, you know, people talking about even making coal into, I know, but I remember them talking about it. I remember that kind of stuff happening in all the other alternatives of using water and cracking the hydrogen out of water with solar power and all this other stuff.
Oh, oil, shale, and...
That's when
Volkswagen started putting a significant presence in its lineup of turbo diesel engines in like the Volkswagen Rabbit. And the funny thing about the, you know, as 5 or 6 years ago, I knew a guy who was still driving a Volkswagen Rabbit. Now, mind you, the body had rusted around the engine, literally rusted off. But he bought a new, he just dropped the same engine into a junked out, parted out old Rabbit, and, you know, away he went again.
Yep. Well, they just came out, the Golf 2, it's some sort of diesel, and it actually doubles the efficiency of a Prius.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, these things are available, and this technology is available, and I think what we're going to wind up seeing, you know, is I think even the people that, you know, do watch those morning TV shows and what have you, they're starting to realize that they're on the nadir, you know, they're on their last dying breath of this. And I think that's why we're going to see, and honestly, I think that's why we're going to see a revolution, and not a violent revolution, but we're just going to see a revolution of thought. We're going to see a revolution of desire. We're going to see a revolution of people's, you know, of
And we're going to see a little bit of what you and I have talked about in the past, where we finally get so fed up, we start looking at the people, and, yeah, but Jesus doesn't want us to have solar. And just looking at them and saying, you know, you're part of the problem, sit down, shut up.
Yeah.
And just turning away from them and, you know, babble among yourselves in the corner, but we're going to be busy solving the problem.
Yeah. See, that's one of those things I never understood that about these religious fundamentalists, how they, you know, they'll tie in their religion and they'll tie in their politics with this oil. I mean, you see, they're not conservatives. I mean, I think that's apparent. They're authoritarians. But at the same time, you know, I can't see how you can actually look. I mean, you and I are more conservative than any of these people. And you know, just because they want to give tax breaks to, you know, the top 1%, which owns, 80% of the world's resources, you know, they want to give these people more and more money. It's like they're like the slimy king's court, you know, and just because the king invites them to the party, you know, they think they're, you know, in the end, even though the king only throws some crumbs here and there. And that's kind of where these people are at. I mean, you can't sit there and look at the sun, you know. I don't understand how anybody who's religious and goes to church can look at the sun and then go to church on Sunday and not see any sort of tie-in. You know, I mean, if you're going to...
That would be a return to our paganism, because we'd be worshiping the sun instead of the creator of the sun.
Oh, that's what I'm saying in terms of the absurdities. Actually, if you do get a chance and you're up late at night and you can't sleep and you need to go watch a little online film, go look up, what is it, The Esoteric Revolution. I don't agree with everything in it, but it did have a really nice zeitgeist kind of view of all of that stuff. And it kind of turns it all, you know, lets you view in a way that it can be easily understood and actually enjoyed. And you actually might gain a little bit from it. It's called The Esoteric Revolution, something like that.
Okay, will do. Hey, Albert, I've got them stacking up. I gotta roll along, brother. But
I'll talk with you later.
All right, go pick some more peas out of the garden. It sounds like they're coming in nicely.
Delicious.
What are the snow peas, sugar peas?
Sugar snaps.
Oh, mercy. Those are like candy straight off of the vine.
I know. That's why the girls, I gave it to them when you first answered, they sat there and I gave them one. And then, like, for the, you know, the next 15 minutes, they're like, Daddy, I want to talk to you. Where'd you get those? Can I have more?
So, yeah.
I'm going to go bust out a couple more pods and give them out to them.
Yeah, good on you, Dad.
The rest of the day.
All right. Take it easy, Albert.
Take care.
Bye now. Our pal Albert in Wisconsin, off to the garden. And on we roll. Hi, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Bob. How have you been? You sound better.
I'm feeling better. Except,
you know,
go ahead.
It's so much fun listening to you get better. I'm serious. This is a good thing because we've all got our adjustments to make. And, golly, one of these nights while you were away, you probably missed the show. I was listening in, and really, I had a vision. I'm not kidding. I had a vision. And reason that it was possible is this wonderful work that Billy Shears does on Saturday night.
Please continue. Connect the dots. But I mean, Billy does astonishing stuff on Saturdays, and frankly, I sit here behind the monitor, you know, listening, because you know, occasionally I screw up and play the wrong file, or I didn't have the streamer running, and I ran like 10 minutes of classical music this past Saturday. You know, I need a keeper.
Oh man, there was one. Maybe this was when you were struggling with whatever, but anyway, and it was, you know, I got to confess that it was a Saturday night, and I was in full vision acceptance mode, and, you know, Billy did this, something that really surprised me. It was Billy doing a heavy metal tribute, and it was wonderful. I mean, he knew all the stuff to play. He covered the Giants. There was Poison, there was Def Leppard, and then suddenly there it was, Feel the Noise. And I flashed on this vision of Dee Snider. And then, again, being in full vision acceptance mode, it just, you know, Bob, the question of the day, the whole summer just flowed over me like crazy. There's Dee Snider. None more real than Dee, right?
Yeah.
And MTV, VH1, toured around the world, but Bob, I realized nobody's ever seen picture or news conference. Nobody's ever seen Dee and Sarah Jessica Parker in the same room, man. This is a big deal, man, with Photoshop and Adobe and God, who knows what kind of alchemy, man. Dee Snider's being ripped off. People are making millions off of this creative giant. But, man, I'm serious. Nobody's ever seen him in the same room.
That is a thought that is terrifying to contemplate. I mean, I think about the video, you know, where, and they got the guy from Animal House to scream. You know, you remember the video, and that just takes you so many different places. You know, is that a pledge pin? But no, nobody's at
no.
Sarah Jessica Parker and Dee Snider. I'll be damned.
Well, you know, there's, you know, a quarter of a billion with a big B that the Bush administration has given to faith-based folks to watch over youth, and all they do is scream, "Don't do it." You know, there's a quarter of a billion down the drain for nothing except irritating teenagers. And $152 million today so he can grind some more up in his little meat grinder. But, hey, man, America's got to find out about this Dee Snider, Sarah Jessica Parker question. This has got to be answered. I mean, this other stuff aside.
You know, and if they were together in the same room, David, there's a possibility that, like, some sort of wormhole would open up and the entire universe would be destroyed, just like what they're working on over at that highfalutin research lab in Switzerland or something. Matter and antimatter or something. Wow. Now I'm going to have nightmares.
No. Hey, there's only one Dee Snider, man. I'm not kidding. I've had the vision.
I believe you. Total Vision Acceptance. TVA! Oh. And all this time I thought it stood for Tennessee Valley Authority.
Yeah, well, there's parts of the Tennessee Valley that produce certain things that, you know, the meaning changes. As you go further up the mountain and you find those little blue smoke trails headed toward the sky.
Oh, yeah, and I've known some good old boys who said, you know, I'll be out there on the tractor and I'll just stop by the patch and eat me a couple of morning glory seeds and or maybe some Jimson weed and away I go.
Or the right rainy morning in April and May, you know, where animals have been.
Yeah.
You know, that can work out for you.
Darn straight. The next thing you know, it all makes sense. And as the late great Bill Hicks would say, your third eye has been squeegeed clean.
You're drawing words and you're writing pictures. Oh, wait a second. I think I hear the mothership over the house. I got some tinfoil to cramp up. I got to go now.
All right, David. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later, man.
Bye now. Total Vision Acceptance. Yes, Lord. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, Susan, what's up?
Well, how do you expect me to eat dinner after playing that thing?
Well, I was going to say which thing. I mean, you know, the pastor from Montgomery or the Johnny...
Oh, the pastor from Montgomery was cool, but, I mean, that guy tried to have a duet with... Oh, God.
Oh, you want the best part of that, though?
That was
the only snippet that anybody on the inner tubes could find, Susan. But it's actually the whole song. And Troy King, a little right-wing deviant that he is such an egomaniac, he burned that to disc and gave it away as gifts at Christmas one year.
Oh, Jesus. Did he bother to pay attention to copyright?
Well, that's the problem. It was never released. So at least the Johnny Cash recording was never released. So I guess he figured, you know, him being a highfalutin lawyer from the University of Alabama and all.
Don't make no difference.
That
copyright
it was.
Copyright applies.
It was, but he wasn't doing it for profit. It probably does. Copyright.
Johnny Cash's estate could sue him big time.
How I wish Johnny Cash's estate would.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody, you know, he's got to be thrown out of office quicker. That little goon is going to have gubernatorial ambitions. And after 8 years of Bob Riley, he might actually seem normal.
Woo! God, what a thought.
But if you look up Troy King on the internet, you will, oh, yeah, this is one.
Do I gotta?
No, you don't gotta. This is one sick little punk. And Loretta Nall is absolutely correct in her assessment of him. Twisted.
Yes, definitely twisted. It's too bad somebody can't hack into his computer and find out all porn on it and then send it to the networks.
Oh, I tell you, I wouldn't get near Troy King's computer without a full-on hazmat suit. There's probably kitty porn, animal porn, all kinds of stuff on that sick freak's computer.
I'm sure there is. Regarding your diet.
Yes. Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof, yes. You're going to find that after a certain point, you will be able to very judiciously and carefully blow your diet on rare occasions.
Probably, but I'm trying to treat. I figured as long as I'm on this thing, I might as well try to get down to the size 34 Levi's.
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is,
or at least 36.
If you don't go into it with that attitude, you're going to end up probably opening a vein out of sheer depression.
But you know, there are these little epiphanies that happen here and there that are very, very refreshing, Susan. For instance, I was having my evening bowl of soup last night.
Ah.
And instead of a cracker or two, I had some toasted sourdough bread. And frankly, we had a couple of beautiful days earlier, and I was thinking, man, you know, on those days, oh, this is the day. Yeah, because, see, I don't sit around going, oh, I want a beer. But there are certain times, you know, high bluebird, blue sky days, and you just want to hang out with some buddies and sit there and quaff a couple. And it was one of those days. And lo and behold, I sat down with my bowl of soup and my toasted sourdough bread last night, and I'll be damned if the taste of that sourdough bread didn't somehow or another, to my taste buds, assuage the urge for a fermented malted beverage.
That's because the sourdough.
Yes, it was. It's because of the tang in it, just like the tang in it. Yeah, yeah. And I was really glad to see that. And, you know, there are other little signs of progress going on. I'm not going to, you know, tap dance in any parades or anything yet. But I was walking through the grocery store the other day, and the basket was somewhere else. And, you know, one of the kids had it or whatever. And I said, oh, wait, I forgot. And so I went and I got, like, 5 cans of soup. And unless you're a professional juggler or whatever, 5 cans of soup requires both arms. And I had both arms full, and I was walking down the aisle, and I felt my pants begin to fall. And so that means that there's less enough of me now that what used to be a snug pair of shorts is now a very loose pair of shorts, and that I am subject to public humiliation if I'm not very, very careful. So that's, but you know what? That now I got the belt going and everything. The belt's getting too big. I'm moving notches. And so I'm accentuate the positive, you know, eliminate the negative, just like the song says. And I'm thinking, you know, if my pants had fallen completely down around my ankles in the middle of that store, I would have turned as red as a beet, but I would have looked up and said, yes, progress.
Harvey had to do the same thing because he lost tons of weight, and all of a sudden he's got pleats where the waistband of his pants aren't supposed to have pleats, but yeah, because he's lost so much weight.
And you know, I was when I went off to college, I wore a pair of 34 waist Levi's. Mm-hmm. And if I could get back to that, none of my suits would fit. Everything would look like I was wearing something from Charleston Tent and Awning, and I would be very, very happy. And my doc would be hard pressed, because I'm looking 6 months from now to have him do the blood work and go, oh, there's no cholesterol left in your system, brother. But there will be, because I'm a cholesterol factory. If I don't take any in, I make it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm like a triglyceride still.
Yeah, you're like you and hubby are the same way. You have the misfortune to have ancestors that bequeathed a little present to you. It's called cholesterol.
Actually, I think the highfalutin medical term for it is hypercholesterolemia and hyperlipidemia.
Mm-hmm.
And it speaks to the fact that eons ago, somewhere in the wilds of probably northern Scotland, my people sat around in a cave gnawing hunks of raw fat during the winter.
Yeah.
And thinking it was yummy.
And so did mine, but the thing is, my doctor looks at my blood work and says, oh, you have that gut cholesterol, and then says, you're fine.
Well, that's like Agnes, you know.
My husband says, you're disgusting.
Well, the doc looks at me and says, you know, no more fats for you, Bob, and looks at Agnes and says, oh, you need some, and looks at me and says, tell you what, once a week you go over and get her a big old greasy hamburger, and you don't get a nibble. And tells Agnes to eat like a half a dozen eggs a week. And I'm like, who am I, Jack Spratt and Mrs. Spratt?
Yeah, we're the same way. We're the same way. He can't have any fat, no salt, no soda, nothing like that.
I have not had a can or a bottle of carbonated beverage. I have not had high fructose corn sweetener of any sort since May the 23rd.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just cutting that garbage out will take some pounds off of it.
And
reevaluating what the, you know, my life here behind the desk. I was, you know, eating my feelings and eating, yeah, and just not doing that. Just sort of I got the biophysical equivalent of an intervention. Because I was sitting here swigging the Tostitos queso dip right out of the jar when I ran out of the chips. I mean, it was bad. It was very, very bad.
Yeah, not good for you.
And you know, chasing it with a couple of little Dove chocolate squares.
Ouch.
Yeah, I did this, and now if I'm capable of doing it, I am damned well capable of trying to undo it. So there.
Look at it this way. You'll be all handsome again, and then...
Now, wait just a daggum minute.
And then...
Again?
...chase you around the house.
Now, see, Susan, that's like the old gag about, you know, the guy at the doctor said, well, will I be able to play piano? And the doc says, I don't see why not. That's great. I was never able to play piano before. Handsome again? No. I'm losing weight. I'm not getting plastic surgery, okay? I mean, I'm on the radio for a reason.
Well, she must have thought you were handsome.
She fell in love with my brain, okay? Yeah, that.
Well,
yeah.
I have it on good authority. She fell in love with your voice.
Well, there's that, too. There's that, too. And, you know, it's a face made for radio and a voice to match. So, yeah. There you have it. But I fear I'm not, you know, I was so desperate this evening, Susan. Not to start everybody else, start the week off, start anything, everything out with the gloom and the doom. Maybe I'm not fulfilling my goal or whatever, but once in a while we just got to sit back and exactly, take a little break, drink them if you got them, smoke them if you got them, sit, you know, whatever, relax, kick back. And well, what's the announce say on Night Sounds? Let this whole crazy world just go away. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm. You know, well, we can do that during the week too.
Yeah, one of the things I'm going to be posting when the site comes back up is a cartoon I ran across. Well, a link to the cartoon. I can't post the cartoon because it's copyrighted, but I can post a link to it. And it's hysterically funny. So I'll make it a point to clue everybody in when it goes up, because it's just, they'll sit there and just giggle.
You know, that reminds me, maybe when we get the website back up to normal and fully functioning again, we ought to start doing something sort of like what the American Family Association does. And, you know how they changed the word gay to homosexual so that you wind up with Tyson homosexual. And by the way, I was looking at the chat room, and apparently ELO found where they had done it to an NBA star as well.
Yeah, and he's still that way. They've still got him listed as homosexual.
Jeez. Well, we need to do something something similar, and that is, you know, I don't know, set up an RSS feed or whatever that looks for whatever, whenever the mention of Senator Craig comes up or Senator Vitter, and replace the name Vitter with Diaper Genie or the Senator Kinkenstein or, you know, whatever, and replace Senator Craig, every mention of him, with, you know, Senator Toe Tap or you get the idea. But we'd get sued. See, I don't know if the Associated Press has the nerve to go after somebody who's publishing news in Jesus' name.
Well, they've got high-priced lawyers. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure that that outfit that was started by Falwell that runs around creating a legal case wherever somebody looks cross-eyed at a gang of fundies would be there, you know, before the nasty gram arrived.
Yeah. What we can do is whenever we I don't know if we could do that either. Maybe put something up like Senator Vitter, a.k.a., you know, known to us here at our site as Diaper Boy.
Yeah. Give me time and I'll come up with something really cute and alliterative, but can't do it on the fly.
Yeah, you do it better than I do. I was just winging it. I've got to think about it.
But there is some real news out there, and I guess I'm going to get at it, Susan. But
we do need to laugh.
We do, because the stuff that's out there is scary as hell.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
I think particularly, and I'm not going to go through it because it's long, it's in-depth, and it deserves a very, very sober reading. Truth Out has a copy of it. I guess The New Yorker has a copy of it. The latest Seymour Hersh article. Have you seen that, Susan?
Oh, yeah.
What's it called? The title of it is Preparing the Battlefield. The Bush administration steps up its secret moves against Iran.
I call it.
Here we go.
Blankety blank 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 blank. Traitor is at it again.
Yeah, and then there's the smear job that's being done on Wesley Clark. That's probably fit to talk about as well. And Senator McCain going by hanging out with a bunch of wage cheats in Pennsylvania today. Yeah, nice guy, Senator.
Oh, yeah, and check out the Texas Supreme Court ruling.
Oh, I saw that one, too. Yeah, that's icky.
Ah!
All you got to do is say, Jesus told me to, and you can commit any civil offense in on the books in Texas.
Jeez, I ain't never going to go anywhere near that state.
I just wonder, and I don't want to piss anybody off because we've got dear friends in Texas, but I wonder how Rick Goodner gets from Monday. Well, he's on vacation right now, bless his heart. But I wonder how horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner gets from like Monday to Wednesday. You know, you get up and oh, they did this, and then Tuesday, oh, they did this, and then you get up Wednesday and they did that too.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't called off and punched somebody. I really am.
Well, you know what? You know what's most interesting out of this, however, is there was polling data released that shows the lead of John McCain over Barack Obama in Texas is in single digits.
Yeah.
Texas, Susan. Texas. I mean, we're not talking about Ohio or Michigan or Minnesota or Wisconsin. Texas.
McCain's lead in Mississippi is in single digits. Mississippi.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Well, Susan, you have a wonderful evening. Give our best to Donald, please, and tell him I'll be thinking of him the next time I'm walking through the stores and have to hike my trousers up over my shoulder blades.
As Nanette says, get suspenders.
Exactly. Get a pair of braces. Okay. What's the real old school world? Some galluses. Get some galluses.
Yeah, galluses. Yeah. Well, give my love to Edgar.
Sure will. You take care, Susan.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now. News Ninja Susan calling from Columbia City, Oregon. And, you know, that's a harrowing moment when you're going down the aisle and all that. Wait a minute. Where are my pants going? I can't touch it. Wait, I got an armlet. What do I do? You know, it's a real Solomon and the baby splitting Hobson's choice. Drop all the cans of soup and haul your pants up, or just let the pants go and hang on to. Actually, I managed to cradle all of them in one arm while I looped a thumb around a belt loop and hung on for dear life until I got to the buggy. That's what I did. So, no, there is an abundance of ugliness out there. And I do sincerely encourage you to go and have a read. Cy Hersh, Seymour Hersh, does not write short pieces. And he doesn't write short pieces because he takes the time and the trouble to lay it all out point by point by point by point. And this guy has been right probably 99-1 against the times he's been wrong. And this has to do with a presidential finding in which George Bush is pumping money into the destabilization of Iran and priming us for war. Just a little snippet. Clandestine operations against Iran are not new. United States Special Operations Forces have been conducting cross-border operations from southern Iraq In other words, we're crossing the border into Iran. We're violating their sovereign territory. With presidential authorization, none of this plausible deniability BS since last year. The operations have included seizing members of Al-Quds, the commando arm of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, taking them to Iraq for torture and interrogation, the pursuit of so-called high-value targets in the president's war on terror, who may be captured or killed. The scale and the scope of the operations in Iran, however, which involved the Central Intelligence Agency and the Joint Special Operations Command, JSOC, have now been significantly expanded. All without bothering to tell Congress a damned thing. If you're not nervous, you're not paying attention. And, of course, the drumbeat continues with that freak with the porn mustache, that Michael Bolton, or Josh, or, no, that John Bolton. Too many Boltons. Going out and saying, well, you know, I think the bombs are going to start falling one of these days. Either Israel's going to do it or we're going to do it. In response to the Israeli military exercises of a couple of weeks ago, Iran has put out a news story via its media arm Press TV that I saw reproduced on an overseas website last night, I believe, in which Iran has announced that they are digging 320,000 graves for the prompt and humane burial of the American dead and the Iraqi dead when the attack comes. They seem to play this game of brinksmanship quite well with us. Of course, it's not very difficult to play brinksmanship with us right now, because George Bush has just about destroyed the entire American military. But they're playing it quite well. Oh, really? Okay, well, by the way, we're digging 320,000 graves for you. And included in the press release was a little something about how they grieve for the people who will be so misused by George W. Bush in an attack on Iran. And you know what? It's hard not to agree with them on that front. There's over 4,100 families right now who have every right, and sadly most of them won't ask the question, every right to look at George W. Bush and say, why did you do this to my family? Why did you do this to my child, my husband, my brother, my sister? Our family is shattered into a million pieces because you stood before the American people and lied your filthy head off.
He tried to kill my daddy. He's got and Condoleezza Rice, and, well, we don't want the smoking gun to be a mushroom cloud.
Go read the Seymour Hersh article. It is worth every bit of time that you will spend with it. However, speaking of Iran, there is this Fox attack blonde out there by the name of Monica Crowley. And she's been filling in on the Laura Ingraham show. And she is hateful. And not only is she hateful, she's really, really terrible behind a microphone. You're about to find out why. She's god-awful behind the microphone. She's got this annoying little giggle that just makes you want to put a sock in her mouth. And no, stop it, Bob. I told Albert earlier that I've got the latest smear. And I do indeed. She was filling in for Laura Ingraham. Laura Ingraham, by the way, was back on the air today, much to the chagrin of the American public and the shame upon our public airwaves. But this past June 27th, this past Friday, She was filling in for Laura Ingraham while Laura Ingraham was sitting out due to a petulant contract dispute. And Monica Crowley accused Barack Obama of being a thief. Yeah, really, she did. But don't take my word for it. Let Monica Crowley tell you herself.
Research on Barack Obama and his campaign slogans, and what I found was very interesting. You know Barack Obama's big campaign line, yes we can, si se puede, or he tried to translate it into Latin over the last week and toy with the...
All right, sorry, can't just let that roll. He tried to translate into that into Latin last week. His people did translate that into Latin. Vero possumus. It is true, we can, or it could have been done veritate possumus. Truly, we can. They didn't try to, they did. But here in a second, she's going to accuse him of trying to mess with the presidential seal. Because that's the other smear that's been out there. Well, he violated federal law by messing with the presidential seal. Yeah, that's the presidential seal. When the fact of the matter is the Repiglicans have been dummying up the presidential seal for their various and sundry dodges and campaign committees for years now. But that doesn't necessarily count now, does it? I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. But back to Monica.
Presidential seal? Well, yes, we can. You know, those are three really powerful words, right? Yes is positive. It's affirmative. We is all about togetherness. It's collective. It's everybody as one. And can is action-oriented. It's doers, not talkers. Yes, we can. Three of the most powerful words that you can use, especially in politics, with the exception of free, of course. But yes, we can probably mobilize people, especially in politics, more than any other words you can use. Well, it turns out that Barack Obama actually stole that campaign line. You know, he steals a lot of stuff, but he stole that campaign line. And you recall a couple of months ago, there was a controversy because Obama stole some of his other campaign stock lines from the Massachusetts governor.
Notice how this thing works. It doesn't have to be true. But you know what she was saying earlier about, oh, those are powerful words. Yes, it's an affirmative, and we, you know, that's a word of togetherness, and can. Well, that's the most powerful word in the language, except for maybe free. That's a giveaway. They know what they're doing to the language, these right-wing Repiglican monsters. They know. They fully understand. They comprehend every last bit of what they're doing to the language. And whether it's true or not, did you notice? Let me. Barack Obama steals. He steals. He stole. Barack stole. He stole. A lot of stuff. And that's all. And that's all that the average right-wing Repiglican brain is able to comprehend. Oh, he's a Muslim, and his mama was an atheist, and he steals? How can he be proud? I'm going to go. I don't like McCain, but I'm going to vote for him anyway. I can't have somebody who steals in the White House. See how it works?
And his friend, Deval Patrick. Well, he didn't steal, yes, you can, from Deval Patrick, but he did steal it from somebody else.
Count them. Steal, stole, steal, stole. How many times has she used that verb now? Six, seven, eight times? Yeah, really.
You'll never guess. Can you guess? You'll never guess. I better tell you. Here's a hint. Knowing Barack Obama and his predilection to wanting to talk to terrorists, you might be able to guess this. Can you? No. All right, I better tell you. Obama lifted his campaign line, yes, we can, from the recent presidential campaign of the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the shrimp in the windbreaker? The shrimp in the windbreaker actually ran several years ago on the slogan, on the very slogan, "We can. We can. We can stick our fingers in the eyes of the United States. We can go nuclear. We can export terror. We can wreak havoc in Iraq. We can do all of those things." That was the campaign slogan of Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. So no wonder Senator Obama is so eager to race to go over there and talk to him. He wants to thank him for a winning slogan. Si se puede, yes we can.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
All righty, wasn't that fun? I couldn't resist. That woman's so hateful. Monica Crowley. I wonder if she's kin to Candy. She certainly, I don't know, I think she's actually more loathsome than Candy Crowley. Of course, Candy Crowley's twice the woman Monica will ever be. No, really. All right, it is here on the East Coast, 8 o'clock, straight up. I fun and carry on about my diet and stuff, but, well, diet, whatever it is. And then people worry about the stuff I'm doing, trying to... 5 cans of soup is so much sodium you can't believe... Well, I'm not eating all 5 cans of soup at one time. And frankly, sodium I'm not so worried about. Right now it's the fat, and there's not so much fat. Because we're watching the fat. And I can't have everything taken away from me at once. I mean, let's see, what's it? The only thing I got left, it's easier to talk about what I got left right now as opposed to what's gone. Right now I got cigarettes. Yeah, I know, quit those too, Bob. They're on the list. I got cigarettes, I got salt, I had some watermelon. Man, the watermelon was just wonderful. And you know what? As a Southerner, I got to tell you, a few sprinkles of salt on a piece of watermelon are doggone near paradise. But, so, you know, we're working at it. Sooner or later, I will be down to full monkhood. No cigarettes, no beer, no flavor, no, you know, I'll be like one of those asparagus plants that they're saying that might grow on Mars. You know, it'll just live on air. I don't think I can get there. Yogurt, well, you know what? I've gotten to the point now where yogurt is as good as ice cream. Yeah, that's how sad. That's, yeah, really. But I'm looking for good results when I go back for the follow-up and everything. That's what I'm rooting for, good results. I want to see, wow, you know, Bob, there's no cholesterol left in your bloodstream. Yay, you. And, yeah, well, everything inside your abdomen's down to normal, and, you know, yay, you. And but see, that's not the clue to go out and, you know, just power binge on a full block of Velveeta. Because I'm pretty sure, like I said, I'm pretty sure that while I may get some stuff back, the Velveeta's gone. But if I could somewhere down the road have a slice of pizza once in a while, yeah. Yeah. Or still, you know, because we're still being very, very gentle with my digestive tract, if I just have a salad with some oil and vinegar on it once in a while. Just some green leaf lettuce, oil, vinegar. You know, I don't have to have shredded cheese. Maybe a little fresh tomato. A little green pepper, a little bit of onion. Or, yeah, okay, a Greek salad. A Greek salad would thrill me beyond belief. Yeah. There's a place down in Charleston that makes one of the sliced beets in it and lots of feta cheese. And oh, Kalamata olives. Oh, dear me, olives. Yeah, salt, I know, salt. But baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps. Yeah, I know it's not food. I know Velveeta is not pasture. If there was any truth in advertising, every box of Velveeta would have, you know, the ExxonMobil the trademark on it. It's probably made up of whatever it is they actually managed to clean up from the Exxon Valdez spill. I know. Right? Any cheese that you can just leave sitting out on the shelf that doesn't have to be refrigerated ain't cheese. I get it. It just melts so well. Oh, and the beer cheddar cheese soup I used to make with it. Oh, mother. All things in moderation, Bob. All things in moderation. Got to learn the Greek for that. Wasn't that what was written at the temple at Delphi? All things in moderation. Yeah. And the golden mean. All things in moderation. And we'll be fine. But speaking of... I got a couple more. I guess this is Monday right wing jerk night.
I sent this little soundbite along to our buddy Guy James because now, based on the friendships that have formed since the horn came into being, there are two people that I think of when I hear about or see something about Ohio State football, and that is our moderator in the chat room and News Ninja, Yellow, who is a hardcore Buckeye fan, and I think of Guy James. Because I think with either one of those, if you actually, you know, did one of those little sticks where the, you know, it's like you're going to test for blood glucose or something. Yeah, I'm familiar with that, too. The blood wouldn't all come out red. It would just come out scarlet, and there'd be some gray. Just scarlet Buckeye fans, hardcore Buckeye fans. And so I sent this along to Guy, and Guy was duly horrified. Because to have somebody like this particular right-wing horse's ass look, I'm a football fan, okay? I'm a college football fan. I'm not much of a fan of the No Fun League. But I am a college football fan. And I love the way the whole dynamic comes together with the, you know, watching the Big Ten and what happens there and watching the Big East and my beloved Mountaineers and seeing what's going on in the Southeastern Conference and way the hell out there on the West Coast, see what happens with the Pac-10. And, you know, the jelly soft Big 12. Sorry, Bart Cobb, sorry. But I got the message to Bart Cobb. You would not like going through the Hall of Honor at WVU. The whole thing is just one big picture of last year's embarrassment of the Sooners after another. It just is. And this is about the time of year when your hardcore college football fan begins every now and then to sort of drum his little fingers, or hers, sort of waiting for college football season to begin. And this is where the speculation begins. Like, for instance, how will new Michigan head football coach Rich Rodriguez fare against the University of Utah, with whom I believe he opens his season, seeing as how under Urban Meyer, the Utah ran the spread, has seen the spread, knows the spread, understands the spread, and Rich Rodriguez's hastily implemented spread at Michigan is not going to be any sort of a surprise to the University of Utah. I'm rooting for an absolute drubbing. It would be fine with me if the maize and blue faithful were throwing things at Rich Rodriguez as his humiliated Wolverines exit into the tunnels there of that tired, worn-out pile of bricks in Ann Arbor that they call, what do they call it, the big house? Or is that what they call the prison in Jackson? I'm not sure. Sorry, Michigan fans. You got our basketball coach, who did a sterling job for you last year, by the way, getting his ass handed to him by Harvard. Just saying. And we're hoping for every bit as much success for your new football coach that you got from us, too. But it wasn't entirely Michigan's fault. I did find out during my trip to Morgantown week before last that Rich Rodriguez was playing footsie with the University of Michigan even before he threw the game against Pitt. So, yeah, there's that. His agent was, because apparently his wife had said, you know, Rich, we're out of here. You know, I've had enough of your shenanigans. I guess she thinks there are no, or that he won't be able to. No way to do this clean, is there? That he'll have to keep his pants zipped up in Ann Arbor where he wouldn't in Morgantown. But that ain't going to happen, Rita. But anyway, back to my original topic. I love college football. The rivalries and the emotional investment. And I know that there are those of you out there, oh, who gives a damn, Bob? Talk about something serious. We got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for dead serious, and we got a little bit left of Monday night for dead serious, too. And this is serious in its own way. This is more serious than you may know or may initially perceive. Because autumn Saturdays are for me something approaching church-like. to be in the stands, whether it's in Ann Arbor or Morgantown or Knoxville or the Columbus or Tuscaloosa or most anywhere that there's a college football game being played, and to hear the national anthem and see the teams run out and watch the game unfold and take shape, or to sit in your living room and watch it, even if you don't have in your hand an ice-cold fermented malt beverage, is a very, very special thing. And I don't know about you, but for me, the time on those autumn football Saturdays or Thursdays or sometimes Wednesdays and maybe Fridays, now that ESPN has completely screwed up the schedules, is sacrosanct. And I don't like it being politicized. I don't want any politics during those 3 hours. I get madder than an old wet hen if I happen to be listening to a Mountaineer game on the radio and I'm subjected to one of those filthy ass the Fiends of Coal ads or one of those stupid Walker Machinery Caterpillar ads. Oh, it just blisters my hide. Because I want a chance to get away from it. From the stuff that, you know, I do here as my calling in life. I love what I get to do for 3 hours every night. I love producing the other shows. But everybody's got to get away for a little bit. And those autumn Saturdays are sacrosanct to me. And I know they are to a lot of other people as well. And so it is, it's particularly galling, this story that I've got in front of me now. It dates back to June the 25th, and it has to do with a right-wing sleaze merchant by the name of Hugh Hewitt, who is apparently an Ohio State fan. Sorry, ELO. Sorry, guy. He just is. It's kind of how I feel knowing that there's a bunch of the right-wing coal thug types who are big fans of the Mountaineers and even alumni just like I am. It's a little bit depressing. But Hugh Hewitt is a big old Ohio State fan. And I'm okay with that. But Hugh Hewitt isn't content to just be an Ohio State fan. Hugh Hewitt has to put the right-wing terror agenda on the backs of the young men who play football for Ohio State. You'll figure out what I mean.
By the way, I'm still trying to find two tickets to the Ohio State-USC game.
Wow, is that a voice that was made for print or what?
And none of the USC people will give up their tickets to me. I'll pay a fair price. They know.
Really? A right-winger will pay a fair price? Quit lying on the radio.
Ohio State's going to slaughter the Trojans. They know that they're going to slaughter the Trojans, and therefore they do not want me there at the bloodbath. Since it's pop.
Now, wait, okay, I'm all for talking smack and that kind of thing, although as a Mountaineer fan, I don't talk much smack because I'm a Mountaineer fan who's a pessimist who watches all the bowl games with a blanket over my head and my hands in front of my eyes and sort of peeping through a crack between it so I can, you know, and that way I'm never disappointed and I'm occasionally pleasantly surprised. But I get talking smack. And that's what that was. Now they know they're going to get slaughtered. God, that voice, that nasal voice. You know, compare that with the rich baritone bass of a guy James. And this guy's getting the millions? There ain't no justice in the universe. But anyway, no, I get talking smack. I mean, I've heard, Lord knows, I've heard Guy talk smack. Nobody talks smack on somebody like Michigan like Guy James talks smack on Michigan. So this starts out with a little bit of smack talking. A little back up. Just because I've been babbling through it, I don't want you to lose the context.
By the way, I'm still trying to find two tickets to the Ohio State-USC game. And none of the USC people will give up their tickets to me. I pay a fair price. They know Ohio State's going to slaughter the Trojans. They know that they're going to slaughter the Trojans, and therefore they do not want me there at the bloodbath. Since it's
bloodbath, no right winger, can make any comparison to anything in normal life without dragging some carnage into it. Because see, they get off on images of that. I mean, I think Hugh Hewitt is probably actually sexually thrilled at the thought of slaughter. Not figurative or virtual slaughter. And now listen to what he says. He's going to tell you what he actually means by the bloodbath. Here we go.
Ohio State's going to slaughter the Trojans. They know that they're going to slaughter the Trojans, and therefore they do not want me there at the bloodbath. Since it's probably the last football game we'll ever get to see before the United States get blown up by the Islamists under Obama. I would like to see Ohio State slaughter USC. This is what I'm living for right now. I'm keeping my all the bad news. I just focus on the Ohio State upcoming slaughter of USC. So if you are a USC fan willing to sell me two or perhaps even three USC tickets to the Ohio State game, Q@UHewitt.com. Or if you're a Buckeye fan with those tickets back in Ohio, I'll trade you some Browns tickets, New York Giants, Monday night.
Got that? Let's get that again. Listen to what this sleazebag, death merchant, right-wing thug is saying. Not that you didn't listen the first time, but I want this stuff to actively be in our consciousness. This guy has just said that the election of Barack Obama, oh hell, let him say it.
To slaughter the Trojans, and therefore they do not want me there at the bloodbath. Since it's probably the last football game we'll ever get to see before the United States get blown up by the Islamists under Obama.
See, we've reached a new low with Hugh Hewitt. Hugh Hewitt just said that it's not that. Let's diagram the sentence. See if my grandmother Kincaid had it right. Now, ELO, get off the ledge. Hugh just jinxed the Buckeyes. We'll lose that game, and it'll be all his fault. Come on. This is the reality-based community. We can't go there. We can't go there, ELO. We can't go there yet. Maybe your Buckeyes will survive. I don't know. Apparently this guy's a real genius when it comes to football because the Trojans didn't exactly suck air last year. They didn't. And it's going to be a slaughter? It's going to be a bloodbath? But this guy is saying it's probably the last football game we'll ever get to see before the United States gets blown up. The whole country! Not just a couple of buildings, not just the Pentagon. The whole country is going to be blown up if Barack Obama gets to be president. Because the whole United States is going to be blown up by the Islamists under Obama. This dirty, rotten, filthy, stinking, self-made son of a bitch has just accused a member of the United States Senate of being a Muslim fifth columnist. Really? Sorry for the pregnant pause that you can drive a daggum truck through, but this doesn't get any better for me. I've heard this a dozen times, and every time I sit there with my mouth hanging open, just kind of catching flies. Oh, by the way, this creep showed up on, Washington Journal on C-SPAN? And said that When a caller referred to right-wing hate radio, he said, there's nothing hateful about us. Oh, he cried big old crocodile tears, did Hugh Hewitt, when he showed up on C-SPAN. We're just trying to debate the issues from the center or the center right. There's nothing hateful about this. Let's see. What's the, here we go. And the, you know, C-SPAN just sits there and lets it happen. Oh, what's the quote? Right-wing radio, it's a conversation about the most important issues. Because I'm not going to subject you to this creep's voice anymore. There's only so much that my poor little eardrums can take. It's conversation about the most important issues. And in fact, the characterization of conservative talk radio as hate talk is always a giveaway that the left doesn't really want to engage in the issues. Because if you talk about the issues, if you talk about the appeasement policies of Senator Barack, doesn't even have a last name now. If you talk about the don't drill Democrats and their indifference to the cost of gasoline and the toll it's taking on middle class America, Americans note this. It's a fundamentally center-right country. Lie, 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 lie. It is not a fundamentally center-right country. Polling data, survey data, time after time after time, proves him to be a damn liar. The cost of gasoline and the toll it's taking on middle-class America, we're aware of it. John McCain doesn't even know how much a gallon of gas costs. No, really, not kidding. But Hugh Hewitt says it's Democrats who don't care about the cost of the price of a gallon of gas. And the only solution is to go and drill off the coast of Florida and off the coast of California, but not off the coast of Alaska. And a drill in Anwar. That's our salvation. Yeah, buddy. Getting away from energy dependence? Nah, not a good idea. Nah, we can never do that. We're America. We're a bunch of losers. We can't come up with something like that. We're not that smart. We're stupid. We're America. You see, that's what the right wing's saying when they advocate all this drilling nonsense. All we know how to do is what we've known how to do before. We're too damn dumb to come up with anything new. We can't figure out this solar. We don't know nothing about no windmills. So he says, I do not doubt for a moment a lot of the left wing wants to silence conservatives on the radio. They want to silence. They don't exist in network television, so they don't want them to go there. But it's not going to work, because I think ultimately the folks who listen and hear are persuaded by a comprehensive collegial civil conversation as such that happens on conservative talk radio every single day and want to keep it there. Really? Really, Hugh Hewitt? Is that what this is? This is conservative civil talk radio.
Ohio State's going to slaughter the Trojans. They know that they're going to slaughter the Trojans, and therefore they do not want me there at the bloodbath. Since it's probably the last football game we'll ever get to see before the United States get blown up by the Islamists under Obama.
I didn't doctor that audio. From his mouth to Satan's ears. That's what he said. Before the United States gets blown up by the Islamists under Obama. You know, the Muslims that Obama's going to bring with him into the presidency here are just going to run around wearing little black boots and little black hats and little black coats, planting little black bombs all over Merca. Because Obama wants them to. Don't you understand? Don't you understand that if you let that... This is part of the theme. This is part of the talking points. This is part of the echo chamber. Saying the same thing 17 different ways. It's Michael Bolton, or Josh, John Bolton the other day, saying that if people want to vote for Obama, there's a million good reasons to do it, but... They have to understand that if they elect Obama, Israel or George Bush will just have to attack Iran, because, you know, Obama can't be trusted to, because just like Monica Crowley said, that he wants to run over and get more campaign ideas and make kissy face with, you know, the very nerve of that POS. Monica Crowley. I'm sorry, last I checked, the only people going over and making kissy face in the Middle East was George W. Bush doing the lingual tonsil dance with the King of Saudi Arabia. But that's all right. That's all right. Because the right wing wouldn't lie to us, now would they? Oh, shucks, no. All they know how to do is tell us the truth. Yeah, new name for Hugh Hewitt, Hugh Duck, as in Daffy Duck. Huh, pronoun trouble. Yeah, he's got a real mind. What is it with, right, I mean, okay, when he's not whacked to the gills on pills, you got to at least give it to Flush Flimball that he can occasionally speak, although that has, or at least he could when he started. But what is it? You've got the savage wiener with this broadcast voice that, I mean, whatever happened to the Midwestern Standard? And then, now you got Hugh Hewitt with this labial F. Can't they find anybody who can actually speak the language to do their talking points for them? Our pal Cindy writes in, that guy is a high-paid dude from big media. The pitch of the voice. Any woman will tell you that a man with a high-pitched voice is usually bereft of at least one testicle, and most of them are rather short in the manhood department. Not the mental aspect either, in his britches. So if a tiny man with a tiny voice is an anathema to a lusty woman, how much does that make these guys hate women? And what do we call these kind of guys? If women don't like them, then they get left to their own groupings, hence the Bush crime family. This is not the same thing as a person who is born gay and is gay and likes being gay. Gay's not what I'm talking about. Women haters is what I'm talking about, and they all have high-pitched voices. Well, I'll have to pay attention and see if we can put some empirical proof behind that. And from the rub-it-in department, Ohio State and Slaughter. Is he, that Daffy Duck, sound alike in complete denial regarding the University of Florida and their 11? There is that. But I don't think that in the year that's passed, sorry guys, but I don't think Pete Carroll just gave up recruiting last year. Pete Carroll gets who Pete Carroll wants, and I don't think Ohio State and USC are going to be a walk in the park. But you know what? I give props to both teams for scheduling each other. It would have been very easy for either team to have scheduled, a nice little Saturday afternoon dust-up with the old ladies' school for the deaf and blind. And just put one in the win column. But no, both of them know that they're... The way it works out, somebody's going home without a shot at the national title out of that game. And I gotta respect both Pete Carroll and Jim Tressel for scheduling it. Cause it's gonna be a hot little football game. But wouldn't it be a hell of a lot more fun to talk about what a hot little football game than that's gonna be? But now, no. It's gotta be something out of one of those twisted 70s, the terror novels where the blimp comes over the stadium and, crazed Islamo-fascist ninjas, drop on rope ladders out of the blimp and, what? I mean, is there no end of, no, there's not any end to this. No, there is not any end to this.
It's probably the last football game we'll ever see before the United States gets blown up by the Islamists under Obama. You know, God bless Media Matters for America. Dog bless Media Matters for America. Flying Spaghetti Monster bless Media Matters for America. Nothing bless Media Matters for America. I'm so glad that they've got these little interns in these little booths with these headphones on that actually have to listen to this garbage. And they stick their little hand out of the booth and go, "Boss, I got one. Can I take the cans off for a little bit? My ears are beginning to bleed." You know, not from the volume or any or the pitch or anything, but just from the. Can you imagine? I mean, there's a hell of a lot of things that people in America do to get paid for. But for your job to be, well, let's see, you've got an 8-hour day, and you do 3 hours of Hugh Hewitt and 3 hours of Laura Ingraham, and then you go back over your notes and you cut out the clips and you write the stuff about it. That is 8 hours of money earned, assuming that the interns are actually getting paid. Media Matters for America, MediaMatters.org does a fabulous job. And you can tell that they're doing a great job because it drives the right wing so crazy to have their words handed back to them. Oh, yeah, Hugh, did you say that? Well, no, clearly you don't want to engage in a dialogue, true dialogue between liberal and conservative because this is a center-right country, obviously. No, Hugh, did you say that? The part about the last football game we'll ever see before the United States get blown up by the Islamists under Obama, did you say that? Well, see, clearly that indicates to me that you liberals don't... No, screw us liberals, did you say it, Hugh? Well, you know, anytime anybody says anything about hate talk, never mind, Hugh, we know you're busted. You're a dirty little right-wing hate-mongering liar. So that's, you know, it's another case of it is what it is. And we're hard-pressed to... can't unring a bell. I despise these people so thoroughly. You know, a few years ago, I was seeing a comment from our pal Jersey in the chat room. He said, I only watch Rutgers football. There's a few years ago that would have been... Poor you. Rutgers has become a force to be reckoned with. And you know what? I'm glad of it. All these teams coming up and getting better and better and better. University of South Florida, WVU, Rutgers, UConn. Seeing these teams come along is great. Great. For my conference, the Big East. Yeah, responding to Cindy's email. Hey, Bob, you're the one with the theater background. They flirt with the tenor. They go to bed with the baritone. That's the way it ought to work. Although, I don't know if Hugh Hewitt qualifies as a tenor. He's more like a castrati alto or something. So, I don't know. Your thoughts. You know, we're running out of program here. We've got about, 25 minutes, 22 minutes left in the program. Your thoughts on this? Do you resent this as much as I do? When they take something away? That had allowed you previously to sort of... detox a little bit. Because that's what they do when people like this Hugh Hewitt cretin goes off on something like that. Oh, I was only being sarcastic. You know what? It didn't sound sarcastic to me. When the United States gets blown up
by the Islamists under Obama. Jiminy. We'll take a little musical break and then we'll be back. Your thoughts, your comments, of course, are always welcome at 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on, 304-658-3333. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. About 22 minutes before the hour, I'm Bob. If you want to get involved, like I said, you know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, H-E-A-D-O-N, or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. And rings right in here, and yeah, you'll be on the air before you know it. Email comes into Bob at headonradio.com. I'm not... I'm guilty of not giving that information out quickly or frequently enough. By the way, if you were wondering, you ever get up in the morning and said, "Yeah, I wonder what it's like to be George Bush." You know, get up with all those spiders and bats and cockroaches and crap crawling around inside your skull, and hearing voices, and being unmedicated and falling off Segways, and you know, the machine you cannot fall off of, the Segway. There's George Bush flat on his face. Well, here's what it's like to be George Bush. U.S. News and World... U.S. News has... this is almost funny as Tyson homosexual. U.S. News has reported that the White House is in what they call an upbeat mood. And that aides see, quote, a president who still gets his way. This is the pull quote from the... from the article. When he travels around the country, Bush feels less antipathy than he used to in the crowds along the motorcade routes and expressed by the individuals who talked to him at his events. Quote, he feels that there has been a shift in attitudes out there that's not reflected in polling data. Yeah, that's another one of those that you got to let swim around inside your skull for a few minutes. He feels that there has been, we're feeling, we're believing, we're not using our little noggins. Not that there's a noggin for him to use. He feels that there has been a shift in attitudes out there that's not reflected in polling data. So, yeah, most of the country telling the truth to an opinion pollster says, you know, we hate his stinking guts and we just wish he'd go away. But George Bush feels that the country feels, that the country believes, that the country intimates there's something different. Reinforcing his point, the latest AP Ipsos poll, released in mid-June, found that only 29% of Americans approved of Bush's job performance, one of the lowest presidential ratings ever. I think there's another poll that's even lower. White House officials, by the way, say they aren't sure such polls should be believed because the questions are biased and the population samples are flawed. That's what the Texas Republican Party said when the latest survey came out that showed that there's only a single digit different margin between John McCain and Barack Obama in Texas of all places. I think they got the wrong. They sampled too many Democrats. You can't call Democrats in Texas if you want to know anything about a political race. You got to just ask us Republicans, and we'll tell you what you need to know. So there it is. Despite being the most hated man on planet Earth, George Bush feels that there's been a shift in attitudes. Well, there has been a shift in attitudes. I mean, there are those who hate him, and there are those who really, really, really hate him. On the other hand, however, the front end of that business... The White House is in an upbeat mood and the aides see a president who still gets his way. Hell, you can't argue with that now, can you? For whatever reason, this is a president who still gets his way. This is a president who promised to hold his breath until he turned blue if the telecoms didn't get immunity for all the damn spying they've done on us. And guess what? He's going to get his way. This is a president, legitimate or otherwise, who has to deal with a Congress that was elected in 2006 solely and expressly for the single-minded purpose of ending this nightmare war and occupation. And they just voted him $160 billion. To keep up the occupation and keep the meat grinder spinning. These Democrats in the Congress who were elected to end the occupation. So why shouldn't he feel like he's a president who still gets his way? Oh, yeah, they vetoed the farm bill. Ooh, well, there's a spine for you. But it got even nastier today with dear leader out there congratulating the Congress. You know, this is congratulating the Congress. This is like when the terrorist kidnapper comes in and brings a crust of bread to the kidnapped victim and says, you know, you're not such a bad person. I mean, I understand it. And the next thing you know, the kidnappee is falling in love with the kidnapper, and you've got a little Stockholm syndrome going on, and boom, there you are. W congratulated the Congress today. It's a good Congress. It's a nice Congress. That's a very good Congress. Don't wet on the rugs, okay? It's a very. Let me pat you on your little head, little Congress. Yes, you're very good. Oh yes, I am gonna let Barney hump you. Yes, I am. Yeah, he congratulated the Congress for giving him that $160+ billion to keep his stinking, filthy, vile, blood-sodded occupation going and going and going like some demonic energizer bunny. He said, this funding shows that even now the American people are behind the troops. Yeah. All right, George. The Congress, you, your administration, are behind the troops, as only you, George, can be behind the troops, hiding behind the troops, pushing the troops toward death, dismemberment, disfigurement, pushing families into something so grave and so monstrous that to call it a crisis is to diminish what those families are going through. Pushing soldiers, pushing the troops into a homecoming where they won't have appropriate, adequate medical treatment, whether it's for a physical wound or a psychic one. Whether it's for a wound that can be identified visibly or a wound that only manifests itself in night sweats and screaming in the dark and the shakes that come on every time you see a cab driver with a turban. Behind the troops, George. You're behind the troops. And pushing them forward. Pushing them. Extending their deployments. Sending the ones that are already mentally ravaged back into the meat grinder, hoping that they get blown straight to perdition so that you won't have to pay for their disability bills. Behind the troops as you shove them into the war, having military psychologists and psychiatrists characterize them as having pre-existing conditions again, so you won't have to pay for the hell and damnation that you unleash inside their brains. Pushing them toward failed families when they get home, if they get home. Pushing them back to an America where gasoline approaches $5 a gallon and they can't do something as simple to get away from the nightmares as taking a Sunday drive with their family because the gas is too expensive. And you, George Bush, don't even know how much that gasoline is per gallon, and neither does your damn surrogate for 2008, John McCain. Yeah, I want to thank the Congress for showing that they're behind the troops. If the Congress was behind the troops, they would have already started, they would have demanded that the troops be coming home. All of them. Now. In the immediate, very near future. They've had what? How many, since 2006, how many chances has the Congress had to say, enough, George, is enough. We're turning the meat grinder off. We're bringing them home.
We're bringing them back to the loving arms of sons and daughters and wives and husbands and mothers and fathers. We're bringing them home to the places where maybe, just maybe, they can begin to heal. We're bringing them home, George. How many times have Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi had a chance to do that and taken a powder on it? How many times have we heard the few brave voices in the Congress stand up and say, listen, the money's in the pipeline to get them home, let's start getting them home? How many times have people like me, or Guy James, or Mark Levine, or Peter Godbold, or John Fox, or Mike Malloy, said again and again and again and again that it's simple enough to end the occupation? You don't send the greedy little bloodthirsty psychopath another bill. You don't write him another rubber check. You end it! This war, this occupation was begun unconstitutionally without a declaration of war by the Congress. And it can be ended constitutionally by the Congress, by the House initiating it, simply by cutting off the money. But now the bill is signed. And now the war and the occupation and the misery is extended into April of 2009. Perfect timing. Because that will be precisely at the end of Barack Obama's first 100 days. Phew. In some ways, they are very much pros, these right-wing thugs, these monsters. And meanwhile, the drumbeat goes on, and that Bolton creep, I think their calculation has to be they want the support at least after the fact from the United States talking about Israel, and therefore I think doing it during President Bush's term makes a lot of sense. I don't think they'll do it before our election because you can't calculate what the impact would be, and of course after the election they'll know who will be president, and that would factor into their decision as well. And then there's Shabtai Shavit, who is the former chief of Israel's Mossad, who says if McCain gets elected, he could really easily make a decision to go for it. If it's Obama, no. My prediction is that he won't go for it, at least not in his first term in the White House. And then Dana Perineal gets invited to the party and gets involved in the process. During the White House press gaggle today, being asked about Bill Kristol's opinion as to whether it would be necessary to bomb little children and mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles in Iran if Obama's elected. Yeah, really. Not kidding. Hard to stomach. Painful to contemplate. But it is what they ache for. It is what they yearn for, that slaughter.
Is the outcome of the U.S. election in any way, shape, or form affecting the way President Bush looks at the option of a military strike against Iran? Bill Kristol, the reason I ask is because Bill Kristol suggested recently that if John McCain is elected president, that President Bush would think that decision could be left to John McCain, but that Barack Obama might be perceived as being too weak and not will not follow the U.S. policy and therefore need to strike more urgent.
There's a lot of political analysts out there, and I respect that they have their opinions. What I can tell you as the president's spokesperson, he is singularly focused on trying to solve this issue diplomatically.
Yeah, so no need to read the Cy Hirsch article that puts the lie to. And by the way, for those of you who go and watch the video, is Dana Perineal now wearing clothing from the Star Trek collection? I mean, didn't I see an interplanetary ambassador one time? See, this is our evening obligatory Star Trek reference. Didn't I see a Star Trek ambassador wearing what she wore? I don't know. He's singularly focused on trying to solve this issue diplomatically. Yeah. Yeah. No, not exactly. So that's it for tonight, and for this program, that's it for June. June is over. More programming coming your way this evening. Peter Godbold is, however, a rerun because, as I said, he's in internet hell. Thank you to those of us who, or those of you who helped us stay on the air in the month of June. We, as usual, did not reach our monthly fundraising goal, but it is not for the want of effort on those of you who did share of what you have with us to keep us on the air. And we struggle. We do. But we're willing to struggle if you're willing to manifest your desire to see the programming continue. And to those of you who have contributed, we thank you so very much. We're approaching an anniversary now. It'll soon be 1 year that we've been operating on listener contributions. And so you are all deserving of a hearty congratulations on your ability to make that happen. July is upon us. The hole is a little bit deeper. If you can please contribute, we would sincerely appreciate it. All of us here at the Horn. Because this is too much and to our minds too important to give up on. Thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer. Thanks to Peter Godbold, our IT professional. Thanks to Ben Birch, who makes the streams and the podcasts and the archives do what the streams and the podcasts and the archives are all supposed to do. Over at WhiteRoseSociety.org. He's got a fundraiser going on, too. He needs help as well. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. By joining Coal River Mountain Watch for a very modest sum, you can stand shoulder to shoulder with these, the bravest people I know, and know that you have become a part of the solution to the nightmare that is mountaintop removal, the nightmare that is mountaintop removal, not just for a region of the country, but for the whole country itself, because we are all downstream. And always, 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 RMR. Gina. He pushed the wrong button. It's all for you.